This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:05 in the evening with Lynn and Kelvin, and we're having a round of Q&A this evening. It's the show where you call in and ask our guests questions about any particular topic. We usually have an expert in the house with us, and today is no different. Our focus, however, is going to be on our sewerage system and facilities this evening. So a few months ago, when we talked about potentially raising our sewerage tariff rate, we had a lot of responses, but we didn't have an in-house guest to actually take those specific questions. Today, that's changing.
Yep, and we have with us the CEO of Indawater, Narendra Maniam. You can always join in the conversation. Call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. Naren, thank you so much for joining us on the show today.
Yeah, thank you again for hosting me.
So I guess let's start with the fact that you became the CEO of Indawater back in August. So since then, what are kind of some of your key priorities in this role?
All right. Moving forward, or rather the last few months, we have initiated few strategic direction for the company, among which is we are looking at recategorization of our domestic tariff. We have customer base for domestic ranging from 2 ringgit, 3 ringgit to 8 ringgit. So we want to actually look into standardizing like any other utilities. That's option one. The second option is to look at tariff revision from 2 ringgit to 4 ringgit and 3 ringgit to 5 ringgit and 8 ringgit to 10 ringgit. And I believe this is quite reasonable because since the formation of Indawater Consortium, we have never experienced any tariff revision. And this is 25 years. No tariff revision for the last 25 years. So it's really timely. And this request and our appeal to the government is quite reasonable, just a 2 ringgit rise for our domestic customers. Apart from this, we're looking at water reclamation. That is to treat our treated sewage that can be used for non-portable use. So in other words, we want to create a second tap, a new source of water for the country. And it's primarily for industrial use, for manufacturing use, and nothing, no contact or no use for domestic, for portable use. And this, I believe, will actually free up the available resources that can be used for human consumption. And third thing is actually to our discharging. Okay, what is discharging is to empty septic tanks. We have been on a very much responsive basis where customers call in, customers which their household houses are equipped with septic tanks, they call us and then we go and dislodge their septic tanks. But we want to move it to be more on a scheduled basis and with more enforcement. So those properties with septic tanks, we want to actually dislodge your septic tank once in 2 years. Because if you don't dislodge your septic tank, the sludge accumulated in the septic tank will eventually discharge into the water course and it's going back to the rivers. So it's timely we get this enforced so that we can actually control and improve our environment. And with this, we'll improve our quality lifestyle, right? And we recently, thanks to Suruhanjaya Perkhidmatan Hainagara, they have recently approved an allocation to upgrade 644 plants to the new requirement imposed by the Department of Environment. So this involves the activities or works that to upgrade our plants to comply with the new environmental standards. So we are actually moving to a better phase, moving our plants to a position to able to comply to new environmental standards. Okay, these are the few key efforts that we are putting in place now.
So how have these revisions and proposals been received, right, starting, you know, perhaps first with the sewerage tariff rate?
Well, we have submitted our proposal to Suruhanjaya Perkhidmatan Air Negara, and we hope Suruhanjaya Perkhidmatan Air Negara will make the recommendation to the Ministry of Water, Land and Natural Resources. We will do engagement with the public, and we hope to get this enforced by next year. Mm. We really hope, because it's timely. We have not receive any tariff revision for the last 25 years since the formation. So, and our request is quite reasonable, just 2 ringgit hike. Yeah.
So on that note, right, while we're talking about trying to get that 2 ringgit hike, could you kind of talk us through what are we actually paying for when we talk about our water tariffs versus our sewerage tariffs?
Okay, water tariff is for services to obtain potable water into our household. Now, this sewerage tariff is for services that we provide in the water to treat the wastewater that is being generated. So when you use the toilet, when you flush it, it goes into the sewer system and it leads to the plant where we operate the plant to comply to the environmental standards. So the thing is, a lot of public come forward to say that we don't see the services rendered by Indah Water Consortium. In actual truth, if you don't see it, that means it's your waste is in good hands. If you see it, then there's a problem.
Right. Mm.
So the most important thing, every morning when you flush the toilet, and that's it, you don't see it. And all we are asking is 8 ringgit to 10 ringgit. So to ease you off from any toilet problems.
You know, when I just think about that, right, when people cannot see the work they are doing and they're actually not supposed to, how do you, when some people have the gripes of, oh, this 2 ringgit increase is way too much, how do you, I guess, tell them that, you know, it's only 2 ringgit and this is actually good work we're doing? How do you consult them?
To date, our operational cost for one domestic household is about 18 ringgit. And we are charging 8 cents per meter cube. Mm. So it's way too low. It's just not, you just can't compare it. So what we are saying is we just want to make the company break even as a start. So the rise of 2 ringgit for each domestic customers will actually reduce our dependency from the government. At the moment, we are being subsidized by the government. And therefore, there's a lot of things that we can't do. So we want to move into building up this company to produce recycled water, to treat it and supply it for non-potable use. So we actually wrote to few water operators. We don't mind treating this water and selling it to the water operator, and the water operator can directly sell it to the industries. Yeah.
You know, on top of talking about these tariffs, there's also been discussion to integrate our water supply and sewerage bills, I suppose, so that it would just be one single item as opposed to receiving or having to pay on separate platforms. When can we expect that to happen and what impact would it have?
We have done it in Labuan since 2016 and the collection efficiency have increased up to 97%. So that's good. But that's in Labuan. We have not done anything yet in Peninsula, but... thank you. Thank you to the one particular operator who have come forward. We will be signing a joint billing agreement this coming Friday, 20th December, with one particular operator. And we intend to roll out the integrated bill 1st March 2020.
Were there any, complaints or issues raised in Labuan, or was it just like, yay, efficiency, everything's working?
Well, there are benefits to joint billing. Instead of paying two bills, you pay one bill. Mm-hmm. But of course, in the initial period, we do have some public complaints, public dissatisfaction, because the year-on-year collection efficiency is still low. So people are still reluctant to pay. So with this joint billing, you're enforced, that is being enforced. So if customers don't pay the joint bill, there'll be a trigger point where if it hits the limit imposed by the water operator can disconnect the water supply. So this time around, this joint billing effort, it's an effort where the water operator has come forward and non-payment of customers by customers will lead to disconnection of water supply.
We're speaking today with the CEO of Indah Water, Narendran Maniam. If you have any questions for him about sewerage tariffs, about the work that Indah Water do, anything that you want to raise at all, you can call us at 7733 2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Beyond frivolous matters, BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
It is 6:16 in the evening. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Kelvin, as well as live in the studio with us, Narendran Maniam, who is the CEO of Indah Water. If you have any questions for him, do call us. It is, after all, Q&A, where we answer your questions. That number is 7733-2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. So, Naren, we've been talking a little bit about how, I suppose in some ways, Indah Water is trying to communicate certain things about how about changes that you're planning to implement. And I was curious, right now, whenever you interact or engage with the public, what is the usual way in which you do that? Is it still via people calling in to raise issues, or are you guys also doing other forms of public outreach? You know, what are the usual ways or touch points that you have with the public?
We have a lot of engagement with the public. We have a lot of engagement through the media. We have programs. We have some contests this year, and it did receive quite positive feedback. So, yes, we are really putting a lot of effort to engage with the public. So, we also seek public to come forward to raise any doubts or any inquiries, and we'd be happy to support and answer them.
We have this question here on WhatsApp from Zaidi that asks, IWK is very poor in its bill collection compared to other utilities like TNB or TM. What steps are you taking to step up cash collection? On that note, Zaidi has a follow-up question. The minister said that IWK funding will be trimmed. What steps are you doing to self-sustain?
It's a very good question. The efforts that we are taking, the company is taking, actually, one is joint billing. We are initiating joint billing. We are discussing with the water operators. And the good thing is we'll be signing with one water operator this coming 20th. The current water operator is one of the states in Peninsula Malaysia. So we will roll that out in 1st March 2020. The second thing is the tariff revision, which is timely. We are looking at another revenue stream, that is to treated sewage water recycle for non-portable use. And one of the activities, recently we got a court order to pluck the chamber of one of our long-defaulting customers. Mm-hmm. So this is the first time in the history where we got a court order, and we successfully did that. And we want to move forward in strengthening the enforcement with the customers.
So I guess a follow-up question from that is coming from Imran, right? You know, this is one of the actions that the court has allowed for. But, you know, what were the actions you could take before if someone didn't pay for your services? Right now, the joint billing, you can sort of work together with the water consortium,
water operator.
Water operator to stop water flow, right? Yes. What happened in the past?
In the past, we do send a warning letter. We do send legal notice. And we do try to take them to the court. So we have got CITOS involved. So all this works very well, but it takes time.
Mm.
Yeah.
And I think we have a caller on the line with us. We have Zul. Zul, good evening. You have a question.
Yes. Good evening.
Hi.
I think Indah Water has done quite a good job for this one.
Thank you, sir.
But I just one question, because this one, I'm not a concern of this one regarding. I think last October, you Indah Water set up one tender for statement printing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, for your bills. The statement printing, the bills for Indah Water, there was a tender.
Okay.
Okay, so what happened was, I think it was published in the papers, and it's an open tender. I think there's a lot of companies that participated. What my concern is, because I think last 3 weeks, Indah Water awarded to the incumbent without even going to doing site visit to those other participants.
Well, this is statement, printing of
yes.
bill.
Yes.
There's no site visit to this.
Yeah.
So there has been a proper evaluation. We strictly follow the Ministry of Finance procurement system. So we abided. We have to abide with the procurement rules and regulation imposed by the Ministry of Finance.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the results are not out yet. The evaluation is still in progress.
Yeah, but that's why I was told the results are already. that's the question.
Yeah.
It's okay, that's all. I've not
signed anything
yet. All right, thanks.
Thanks for the question, Zul. I suppose that is pretty much the final answer on it. If you hear I have not signed anything yet. That kind of puts that to bed. But thanks for the question. And I think that that raises an interesting issue, right? This idea of the interest that people have in terms of tender processes. Is that something that you've observed? I mean, is there sort of this active... do you find that people are watching, I suppose, IWK
well,
closely?
It's good. Yeah. It's good that the people are watching. Mm-hmm. We have a board... we have a management procurement committees at few levels with few threshold. And beyond that, it goes to the board procurement committee, consists by board members, and then after to the board for approval. So we strictly follow the MOF policy and guidelines with regards to the appointment of third parties. And there's no, we have to comply to that. If not, my head will be on will be on the chopping board.
On WhatsApp, we have this question from BTech who wants to know about the cost of our treatment compared to neighbouring countries. Are we efficient and cost-effective?
Well, we are, I would say we are operating quite efficiently. We have 7,000 plants and we are complying to, we have guidelines and we have KPIs that we have to adhere to. So we our compliance level is 95%. So we meet the SPAN's KPI. Mm. So, well, there will be good some bad days. We can't avoid that. Like any other utilities, there'll be few bad days in a year, but we'll take efforts to actually rectify it as soon as possible.
We also have, I think, a complaint really from Raymond who says, I live in Bandar Botanic in Klang. There is a long-standing issue with the vacuum pump which frequently malfunctions, resulting in sewage overflow. Till today, there has been no permanent solution. Lately, the situation is so bad that my ground floor toilet is unusable despite my frequent complaints to IWK. Before we talk about raising tariffs, how about IWK solves our problem? And I think, firstly... Yeah, so Raymond has an issue that needs solving?
Well, this is a system, vacuum system, which was built by the developer and it was handed over to us. So we inherited this system. Well, the consultant, there's some studies done and parties have agreed, the government has agreed that Indawater jointly with the developer resolve this issue. So we are doing it in phases. So my apologies, we are doing it in phases. So maybe... Your area will come soon, will definitely come soon. So we are actually in phases eliminating this vacuum system and laying the proper gravity pipes.
So I have actually never personally raised an issue with Indawater, so I don't have experience with your customer service, but maybe you can take us through it. I mean, so if somebody were to talk about something like this, were to call you with an issue like this, what kind of response can they expect and... I suppose, how timely would that response be, generally speaking?
Well, we have our KPIs to respond to customers within 8 hours, 12 hours. So we do respond. But if there's any customers who feel that we have not responded, please directly get in touch with the management. You can directly call us. Our lines are available in the website. Yeah, so please do get in touch with us.
Up next, we have a question from Stephen that asks, why is sewerage treatment not part of the municipal service?
Okay, Indawater was privatized in 1994. There was a reason to it, and the government at that time wanted to actually improvise the sewerage treatment. Many municipalities had issues operating all the public sewerage treatment assets. The tariff was too low, but then when we took over, our tariff was still low, and we could not. The concession agreement actually allows tariff to be revised on a scheduled basis, but unfortunately, we couldn't get that going, and we were eventually subsidized by the government. But the CapEx, capital expenditure, at the moment is all done by the government. The government actually build all, invest in all. Public sewage treatment assets. If you see, there are large plants that has been put in place. We're slowly moving towards other regions, other states to build centralized sewage treatment plants. So this is these are planned projects that will happen every Malaysian plan, 5-year Malaysian plan. So now we are actually moving from the 11th Malaysian plan to the 12th Malaysian plan in 2021.
Something that I wanted to pick up on from an earlier point, which was this issue of enforcement. Do you have enough people currently to enforce efficiently? Because, of course, you know, if you were to start picking that up, then there are several levels at which that needs to happen, right? Do you have the manpower at the moment, you think?
Well, we do have the manpower. And one of the key things is joint billing. We joint billing, we can actually, there's a law to it that non-payment, the water company can actually disconnect the water services. And to those owners of septic tanks, we are actually in final terms finalizing the proposal with the government to actually enforce discharging to be carried out once in 2 years. So the customer is required to empty his septic tank once in 2 years, and failing which there'll be a penalty. So if you compare yourself, if you compare paying 144 ringgit to discharge your septic tank against paying hefty penalty, I'm sure the customers will move towards getting their septic tank discharged regularly.
We're speaking today with the CEO of Inda Water, Narendran Maniam. If you have any questions, call us 7733-2900. You can, of course, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. We have other WhatsApp messages that we have not been able to get to, but we will come back for them after the 6:30 news. You can, of course, also tweet us at BFM Radio. We'll be back just in a quick moment. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Bole for Malaysia. Ha. BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 6:35 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Kelvin, and live in the studio with us today, Narendran Maniam, who is the CEO of Indah Water. And we are taking your questions. If you have any pressing sewerage, water treatment questions, anything at all, you can, of course, call us at 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. And we have had some questions come in through WhatsApp. So, for example, LW, who lives in Taman Cheras, wants to know, why would IWK withdraw the service of a premise? I mean, our premise used to be built by IWK, but not anymore after 2008.
Okay, this possibly, I mean, I have to check this place, Taman Cheras, but likely your house is connected to a communal septic tank. Post WASIA, Water Services Industrial Act, we no longer manage a communal septic tank. Mm-hmm. And what is communal septic tank? It's a few houses connected to a septic tank, but it's a larger septic tank. So, yes, post WASIA, we do not consider a communal septic tank as a sewage treatment plant. So if it's connected to a few houses, we urge these houses to agree and allow us to do your discharging, and you can pay us on the gazetted tariff.
So in the case of LW then, what kind of information would they need to be able to get in order to find out what's going on?
I'll be glad if you could drop me an email through our email, general email, and we will definitely get back to you.
We also have a question here from Mr. T that asks, what are the parameters that IWK tests before releasing the treated water to the rivers? And how does it compare to the standards used in developed countries?
Well, we are governed by the standards imposed by Department of Environment. And one of the major parameters are BOD, COD, SS, total suspended solid, pH. So we have to comply to all these requirements before we actually discharge to the environment. So if you ask me how are we, I think against other countries, the guidelines, the parameters are quite stringent. It's quite stringent, actually.
And Anas wants to know, does Indah Water have any plan to make a similar plant concept with the Bill and Melinda Gates Water Treatment Omni Processor? I'm not even going to pretend that I understand that. Or will there be any more efficient plant or technology R&D to save more cost for sewerage treatment?
Yes, I mean, we have a lot of advanced technology application. The one in Pantai, which serves about the two plants we have in Pantai, Pantai 1 and Pantai 2, has a capacity of total 1.8 million population. It's very advanced. Some of the other plants that we recently built in Bunos, recently built by the government, it's of state-of-the-art technology. And yes, we do have our own internal R&D. It's located in one of our large sewage treatment plant, Bunos treatment plant in KL. If you are keen, please do come visit us. We would like to take you through our R&D.
Oh, really? So yes. People can just drop by?
Well, you can just drop us an email and we'll be glad to share. We love to share. We really want to share. We want the public to know what we do.
You know, throughout this year, the issue of pollution has come up in the news a number of times. You know, there have been a few cases of dumping of illegal waste into the river, Sungai Kim Kim, for example. And later on in the year, Sungai Semenye. How does Inter Water come into the picture?
Okay, recently was, the last was Sungai Semenye, where there were traces of solvent into that went into our plant and went to the river, and the downstream of 8 kilometres downstream was Sungai Semenye water treatment plant. This is done by irresponsible parties where they illegally discharge chemicals or solvents into our sewer system. They could illegally open the manhole and discharge, and or could even pour it through your toilet system. No one would know. This is very irresponsible, and our treatment plant can only treat sewage. It cannot treat anything beyond sewage. So what more with all these chemicals going through? So I seek the public, I actually plead to the public, if you see any wrongdoings done by any third parties, please take video, please take photos and send it to us, because we really want to take this to the hardest way we can. Mm. Recently, there's one good Samaritan who actually took a video of an illegal discharge of a private contractor into our sewer system. Mm-hmm. And we actually lodged police report and we are taking legal action.
So you mentioned there that the way it works right now is, of course, anybody could be putting anything in the water and it would be hard to detect. So when it comes to detecting waste, detecting this sort of waste, then what role does Inter Water play in that? What happens if it goes undetected?
Because our plan is designed to treat sewage and it's only certain parameters that we can, anything beyond that, it will trigger the system. But we have 7,000 plants. And there are some old plants. Not all plants can actually trigger and alarm us. So it's an ongoing process. Most of the plants, smaller plants, we have plans to rationalize. The government has plans to close down these plants and rationalize them to a larger plant. So the long-term plan is actually to reduce the number of plants and take all these plants to a bigger plant.
Let's talk about water sustainability. Is it a pressing issue here in Malaysia?
It will eventually be, you know. With the drought, with the global climate change, it will be. And that's why we're taking a proactive move to actually come forward to create a second tap, a new source of water, which can be used for non-potable use. So we are discussing with a few third parties and we want to build more reclaimed plants. I myself have built reclaimed plants in other countries and we have to do it in our own land.
What are the parameters of that water? So I guess for potable water, you know, most of us can grasp the parameters of that. We want to be able to drink it. But when it comes to non-potable water, what makes it safe to use, I suppose?
Okay, the treated effluent, what it has to go through, it has to go through pre-treatment followed by ultrafiltration and reverse osmosis. With these two technologies, it actually removes a lot of all the parameters. You're actually producing pure water that can be actually used for potable, but then again, the public perception will not be there.
It's a hard sell, yeah.
Yeah, so even in Singapore, the treated sewage goes through a tertiary treatment and this treated water is sent to the reservoir. It mixes with the reservoir water and then further goes to a treatment plant before it goes to the public. So that's why you call it new water because, yeah.
So Inter Water has also been making some effort to move towards becoming a circular economy where the wastewater byproducts can be reused. What are the byproducts?
As I said earlier, it's the treated effluent that can be reused, creating a new source of water. Our sludge, we are looking at a few projects to actually use sludge to create a waste-to-energy plants, mm-hmm. to create power out of our sludge. We are looking at various technologies, various applications that can reduce our operational costs significantly.
And has there been sort of active interest from within related industries to take these projects further?
Yes, a lot of private sectors have come forward. We have actually called for requests for proposal for companies to come forward on the reuse of sludge to create energy. So we are evaluating some of these proposals. So we may make decisions soon.
We're speaking today with Narendran Maniam, who is the CEO of Inter Water. If you have any questions on reusable well, reusing wastewater, sewerage tariffs, you know, just anything to do even with water treatment in your own home, call us at 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we are going to be talking about toilet habits and fatbergs. So if that sounds appealing to you as you head to dinner, then keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Bole for Malaysia. Ha. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
It is 6:46 in the evening and you are with Lynn and Kelvin on the Evening Edition together with Narendran Maniam, who's the CEO of Indawater, who has been taking your questions over the last 45 minutes or so, and you still have time to send them in. Call us at 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. So we've been talking a lot about treatment, water treatment, understandably. And Maggie wants to know, if our treated water is of good quality, then why is it that my white laundry sometimes has stains ranging from yellow to brownish? What is the solution?
Hi, Maggie. I believe this question, you need to post it to the water operator. I wouldn't be able to answer. The water operators may get angry.
Okay.
So we moving on to something maybe a bit gross, but you know, we came across this news about a double-decker bus-sized fatberg in the London sewer, which was made up of fat, grease, and other materials. It really took quite a bit of effort to clear up the fatberg, and authorities then issued an advice for people not to flush down irrelevant material down the toilet and sink. Is this a problem we've seen and faced here before?
Oh yes, definitely. Our sewer pipes, you can actually compare our sewer pipes with our arteries, the food we eat. Too much oil and grease will eventually clog our arteries. So it's the same thing. We urge the public, our customers, please do not dispose of your grease, your oils into the system, because it goes to our public sewer pipes. It eventually reduces the diameter of the pipe and clogs the pipe. So it does create a lot of issues, actually.
I almost don't want to ask you this question, but I will. Have you seen a fatberg?
Yes, we have, and we have cleared them, and it's being done quite regularly.
How? I don't know if I want to keep this up, but like, you know, they found a double-decker bus-sized one. Is there a size range here?
No, I mean, the largest pipe we have is about 2.2 meters.
Yeah.
So those are big pipes, but basically the oil and grease, the fat, are normally clogged at the smaller pipes.
Right.
Pipes that are from the household, before it gets to the big pipes. So basically all the clog pipes are basically ranging from 225 millimeter diameter pipes to maybe 600 millimeter diameter pipes.
So would you have, I suppose, general advice to offer people when it comes to good, this sounds like a strange phrase, but good sewerage habits, you know, things to do in order to keep your own pipes in your own house sort of running smoothly?
Well, I actually seek the public, do not dispose anything else beyond our human waste into the sewer system, into your toilet bowl, because it goes into the sewer system, it goes to the plant, and this is one, we incur a lot of cost disposing a lot of particles that is trapped in the screening facilities. So please do not dispose of plastic items and so on into our sewer system.
We have this message here from KH that says that why do we have to pay IWK fees since IWK is funded and paid by the government to perform their services? Plus, when we live in a condominium, we already pay a lot for maintenance fees. How do you measure our consumption?
Well, we have our gazetted tariff, and if the plant is managed by us, we have to impose the gazetted tariff, so be it commercial or domestic customers. So what you're paying through your joint management body, your JMB, is probably consists of other things and will definitely not include sewage fee if we have been given the rights to actually impose this or charge these services.
I'm not sure if you can answer this question, but if you can't, please feel free to say so, because Belinda wants to know, I'm renovating my house now, changing all the sewerage pipes of 40 years. The contractor is now using 6-inch UPVC pipe compared to old CI pipe. Is that a good material?
Yes, it's commonly used, so okay. You can proceed.
Mm-hmm.
We also wanted to find out, you know, what a career is like in IWK, you know, considering the fact that I guess funding can be quite a bit shorter. You know, are there issues related to retaining talent?
Yeah. Well, if we compare our wages, our employees, our wages, compare ourselves with the water operators, I would say we are lower than the water operators. So one of my key roles is actually to raise the platform of sewerage industry so that we can attract professionals to come forward and contribute to these industries. What has happened is people come and eventually people leave this industry for better advancement. Mm-hmm. But if it's a rewarding career, people might stay. So one of my dream to achieve this target is actually to raise the platform of sewerage industries and to make sure that our employees are paid in accordance to market rate. So this is one of the effort that I would like to get it done during my tenure in IWK.
GBP wants to know, there is a percentage of waste product from water consumption and there is a correlation. Can you verify that?
Can you repeat?
So I suppose the question here is whether or not there is a correlation of the percentage of waste product from water consumption. GBP, if that's not the question, do please get in touch.
I appreciate if you can elaborate further.
Okay. Mm. All right. Yeah, do let us know. Or better yet, call us. That number is 7733 2900. You can also WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio.
So we're coming to the end of 2019. What do you think needs to be focused on in 2020 to improve our sewerage system?
We have our business plan target. Mm-hmm. The targets are, one is tariff recategorization, tariff adjustment, establishing water recycle facilities to kickstart this. We want to do it the right way. We want to apply for industrial grade service license. We want to seek financing from Pengurusan Asset Akhir Berhad. I hope they can come forward to finance and implement these projects. Lease it back to us. We pay lease charges. We operate the plant and we sell bulk supply to the water operators. Mm-hmm. So this is one of the effort. Three is scheduled disludging. We want to move from responsive to scheduled disludging. So we need the enforcement in place. And with all this, I think the company can stand alone within a year or two.
We also have Ravi who wants to know, I would like to understand the assets of Indawater. As I've come to understand, there are thousands of acres of vast land that's not being used. Are there any plans to diversify into development?
The land is not owned by us. It's owned by the Federal Land Commissioner. So when plants get rationalised, the land is, we decommission the plant and the land is available, is kept vacant. And if you are interested with the land, you may be in touch with the government.
We have a question here from Tanny that asks, what are the dangers and burdens from toilet cleaners, such as those bowl cleaners, toilet ducks, loose soap in the flush tank? Are they advisable to be used?
Well, if you use too much of chemical substance in your cleaning, it goes into the sewer system. We had so many incidents where foam at the inlet of the plant because too much of soap. So, yes, we hope that can be managed.
And I think we still have other questions coming in. GBP is back to clarify, saying, when there is master planning done, the size of a plant is based on 270 litres per capita per day. Does Malaysia consider a percentage of waste from water consumption?
Okay, in the guidelines, one person generates 225 litres per day. So when we design our system, we take into consideration 225 litres or 0.225 metre cube per person per day in our design. And that's average flow, and we have peak flow as well. So that's a computation in the design. It's quite technical to size up the plant.
And I think just in closing then, we've spoken about all the different measures that you're putting in place, and we've also received, I think, some questions that indicate that at least for some people, I think, the services that Indawater perform versus water operators versus private operators, you know, it's not very clear. If there's one thing that you want people to really understand about what it is you do and what you're trying to achieve, what would it be? Well, how would you sum that up?
Well, to all, everyone, we are cleaning your waste. So we are just your wastewater company.
Okay. On that note, we also did get a message from Zaim Jalil, who did say, I want to give credit to Indah Water Consortium for doing all the dirty work in the sewer for the community. They are unsung heroes.
Thank you. And I also like to plead to all our customers, please do come forward to pay your bills.
And take the tour. Yes, and take the tour of the facilities. We've been speaking today with the CEO of Indah Water, Narendran Maniam, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.